Bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, grant this day your word will be preached, in your presence be made known, and your way followed, in Jesus' name. Good morning. One of the things I really appreciate about this community is that you're not a bunch of gripers. You give me a chance to be creative and do things I've never done before, and I appreciate that. And so today I'm going to do something I've never done before. And that is to try to get a connection with you between the Scripture and the Creed. See, this is Trinity Sunday, and the basic theology of our church is based on the Scripture, and we use the Creed to explain this and to shorten it. And so I'd like to show you some Scripture, place some Scripture where the Creed is based on. Now, the Episcopal Church, I believe, is one of the most biblical churches in Christendom. We should not be ashamed of that. We read more Scripture on a Sunday morning than most churches read. And to understand that everything we do basically is done because that's what Jesus called us to do. And so I want to kind of just go through the Creed, and perhaps if you just learn anything is to understand how this is biblically centered Creed. Now, you can look in your blue sheets here, and it shows you the Creed and the Scripture. And if you're interested, as you go, there are some pink slips out there that have brought the Scripture and the Creed together. Save you from looking them all up. Now, I'm using the Right One Creed because it basically is comparable to the King James Version. Sometimes in the Right Two Creed, they've changed the wording just a bit, and so you don't see that relationship. I like the Right Two Creed because it starts off by saying, we believe. It's okay to say, I believe, and if you have things in the Creed, people say, I don't say the Creed because I don't believe it. There must be something in there that you believe, so just say the stuff that you do believe. But the we believe, I like that, because it says this is what the church is teaching. So it gives people the freedom. We've got all sorts of bishops, priests, and lay people who are past one side of the creed or the other side, but this is what the church is teaching, and that's so important. And so we start off by saying, I believe in one God. And this is so important because the Hebrew monotheism is critical for them, for Christians, for Muslims, because coming out of that situation. And learned in seminary the Shema Israel from Deuteronomy, that Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And then in the Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning God, just one God. And so that means that before anything else was, before there was time, before there was space, there was God, God who is eternal, God who is infinite. And the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, right out of Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning was God and created the heavens and the earth. He's Almighty, He's Father, He's Creator. And then of all things visible and invisible, and if you looked it up in Colossians 1:15-16, that's exactly what it would say. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ. We remember Peter's confession. Jesus said, who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in John chapter 6, where he's talking about, eat my body, drink my blood, the disciples left him, and he said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter said, where can we go? Yeah, the words of eternal life. We believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. And then there's this word begotten that runs through, and again, sometimes you can't find it in other areas, but it's an archaic word. The only begotten Son of God, John 1:14. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, right out of the Scripture. Begotten His Father before all worlds, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. See, that's that basic principle of Jesus being with God, but also being God. Different from God, but doesn't make a difference. He is God. And God of God, John 14:9. If you've seen me, Jesus said, you've seen the Father. It's the same thing as light of light, John 1:4. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of the world. We're talking about spiritual light and people that are out of God's presence walking in darkness and in God's presence walking in the light, in the wisdom of God. very God of very God. The word very means true. And so you have the scripture where John says, this is eternal life. They may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Very God of very God. And then again, the begotten, not made. This is important because the word begotten means designated. In Hebrews, it says that Abraham's only begotten son, Isaac. Well, we know that Abraham had another son, Ishmael, who was an older one, but Isaac becomes the designated, the begotten son. And Jesus was not made, he was designated as son. Begotten, not made. John 1:18. No one has seen the Father. It is God, the only begotten Son, who has revealed him. And then being of one substance with the Father, John 10:30, Jesus saying to the apostles, I and the Father are one. Different, but it doesn't make a difference. By whom all things were made, John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Coming right out of the scripture. Who for us men and for our salvation, in the right two, they leave out the men part. It's just because for us. I said I'm just going to give a little pause on the right one because I think it's awfully chauvinistic today to say that. But for us and for our salvation, John 3:16, God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, came down from heaven. When he's talking to the people in John 6, when he's talking about the bread of life, and he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary. We all know this in terms of the Christmas narrative. Luke 1:35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Mary said, I know no man. How can this be? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And was made man. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the incarnation, the in the flesh, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. John 19:16, he, Pilate, delivered him to be crucified, and he suffered. John 19:18, they crucified him and was buried. John 19:42, they laid him in the tomb. Now this quote, and the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, is right out of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. And then on, he shall come again in glory to judge both the quick and the dead. I like that quick and the dead. The old sergeant told the soldiers, he said, in a battle there's only two kinds of people, the quick and the dead. But this quick means those that are alive or dead, in Acts 10:42, ordained by God to be judge of the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And when he's talking to Martha at the death of Lazarus, John 11:26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me will never die. I believe in the Holy Ghost. John 14:16, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Now that word another is important. If a little child has got a popsicle on a hot day and goes out and it melts and it falls down, he starts to cry, what does a parent do? They come in and they say, don't cry, what I will give you another one. Now, another one, it's not the same one. It's different, but it doesn't make a difference. And the Holy Spirit is another comforter. Jesus is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is another comforter. Different than Jesus, but it doesn't make a difference. He still is the comforter. The Lord and giver of life. Genesis 1:2 says that the Spirit moved across the waters and created life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son. Almost right out of Scripture, John 15:26, Jesus saying, I will send the Holy Spirit to you, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. John 16:14. The Spirit will glorify me, and then he says in 17:14, and I have glorified God or you. And who spake by the prophets. Again, if you look that up, 2 Peter 1:21, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. And then I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. One, holy and Catholic. One is the same as holy, the same as Catholic, meaning universal. John 17:22. Jesus' prayer was, Father, I pray they all will be one as we are one. And see, there's a difference between unity and union. People try to get folks in unity so they'll all agree in the same thing. But there's a difference between that and union. What Jesus wants us to do is to be in union, because when we are in the presence of God's love, we will be have a sense of unity of the Spirit. And then, who spake by, I believe in the apostolic church. Look up that Acts 2:42. It says that they continued, and I like to use the word apostles as an adjective describing all four of those areas: the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, apostles' breaking of the bread, apostles' prayer, apostle referring to being Spirit-filled, that our teachings and our fellowship and our Eucharist and our prayers need to be open to that Spirit, apostolic Spirit of God. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. In Acts 2:38, after Peter had preached and after Pentecost, they said, what shall we do? And he basically said this. He said, repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. And I look for the resurrection of the dead. And again, John talking to Martha, 11:25, and John, Jesus talking to him, said, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And believing in the life of the world to come. And Jesus said in 10:10, I have come they may have life and life abundantly. And then comes the amen. This is what I believe. Just last week in one of those programs on religion, they had an interview with a woman who used to be an atheist, and she never believed in God, never went to church. She was a reporter. She said one Sunday she was going by a church on Sunday morning, and she said as a reporter, she needed to report on what was happening, and it was Episcopal Church in San Francisco, and she walked in there and came to the altar and got this, she said, piece of bread, and she didn't say the exact words, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just came upon her. And she knew who Jesus was. And she became baptized, became a Christian. She's still working as a reporter, but in her spare time, she's feeding the hungry, and she's also feeding people at the altars as well. And she had an interesting statement. She said, in receiving Jesus, she said, it's not about theology, because she was an atheist. She didn't have any theology. And all of a sudden, Jesus came upon her. She said, you have to have three things. To really be open, you have to, first of all, you have to be hungry and thirsty. And so Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And the third thing she said is, you've got to be willing to be fed by an unseen person. That means you've got to open the heart. And so when we take the Eucharist, we need to be thirsty. We need to be hungry, be willing to be fed by an unseen person, Jesus Christ. And that's important to understand, because when, as a priest, it's powerful to me to take that wafer and say to a person, this is the body of Christ. And they say, amen. Because to know that while that is different than the body of Christ in the Eucharist, it doesn't make a difference. Spiritually, it's the same as the body, the presence of Jesus. And that cup, this is the blood of Christ. It's wine, it's different than the blood, but it doesn't make a difference. You can still sense the Spirit of Jesus in that Eucharist. And so when you say amen to that, it's saying, I understand it. Amen. And so when we take the Eucharist today, just be aware of that hunger that we do have, and that thirst we do have, and that willingness, you see, to be fed by the unseen presence of Jesus. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, grant on this Trinity Sunday and this coming Pentecost season that we might find you feeding our hunger and satisfying our thirst and filling us with your presence. In Jesus' holy name.